Before I get into the lesson this morning, I want to remind you of tonight's lesson. Tonight we're going to be looking at perhaps the most famous and familiar story in the entire Old Testament, Daniel in the lion's den. So I hope everyone will be here tonight as we take that Old Testament story and make New Testament application from it. Daniel in the lion's den at 6 o'clock. For as long as I have been in Port Lavaca, I've talked about a sermon that I preached in another congregation years ago entitled The Judas Potential. Always talking about a sermon I preached a long time ago, The Judas Potential. And I always would add this caveat, someday I'm going to preach that sermon here. Well, that sermon outline is long gone, trust me. So this morning I would like to introduce another sermon with the same title, The Judas Potential. And the application point of the lesson is this. If Judas, having all the advantages that he had, and we'll mention those advantages, if Judas fell, so can anyone else. We'll make those applications. Here's our text. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver Jesus to you?" And they counted out unto him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray our Lord. And brethren, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but there are certain names that we might give to animals that we would never, I hope we would never, give to our children. You know, you might go to the auction, you might buy a big old Brahma bull, and you might name that bull Goliath, but hopefully you would never name your son Goliath. I didn't know her personally, but I knew someone that had a mule one time. Her name was Jezebel, but I don't think we would ever name our child Jezebel. And the same is true with Judas. Maybe you have. I have never known or heard of anyone except a pseudo-name who took the name Judas. The name Judas lives in infamy. We will always know Judas as the man who betrayed our Lord. But there's a lot we can learn from the life of Judas. In fact, there's a lot the Bible tells us to learn from the life of Judas. Let's do that today. You might remember that a number of years ago, someone discovered an old manuscript. And the title of the manuscript was The Gospel of Judas. And originally, the people that found that were trying to portray that manuscript as if it were from the first century. Maybe even they were implying that if Judas didn't write the Gospel of Judas, maybe one of his friends did. And in the Gospel of Judas, Judas was portrayed as a hero. In that manuscript, Judas was trying to protect Jesus. He knew they were going to kill Jesus, but if he got Jesus to the chief priest, maybe they would protect him. Brethren, the Bible doesn't say that Judas was a hero. It says he was a betrayer of our Lord. It says he was a traitor. But let's look at Judas. First of all, Judas was an apostle. We might want to deny it, but we cannot deny that just like Jesus personally chose Peter, Andrew, James, John, and the rest, Jesus personally chose, he hand-selected Judas. And many times in the New Testament, when we find a listing of the apostles, in fact, I want to say every time we find a listing of the apostles, there is Judas. Matthew 10, Mark 3, Luke 6. Sometimes Judas is singled out and identified as an apostle. Matthew 26, Matthew 27, Luke 22 in Mark 14. Brethren, as much as I would like to, as much as you might like to, we just cannot deny the fact that Judas was hand-selected, specifically chosen by Jesus. And he remained that way until his ultimate fall, Acts chapter 1. He sat at Jesus' feet perhaps every time Jesus ever taught or preached. He heard Jesus' teaching. He was taught the gospel by Jesus. He heard about the kingdom of God, Luke 8 verse 1. He heard the parables. He saw the miracles. He even heard Jesus talk about his betrayal and death, Matthew 20 and other places. He, along with the other apostles, were sent on a limited commission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were even given the power to perform miracles. As much as I would like to deny it, or anyone else, Judas was respected as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was recognized as an apostle of Jesus Christ. At one time, at least, he was able to perform miracles like the other apostles of Jesus Christ. Here's proof. Matthew 10 verse 1. And when Jesus had called unto him his 12 disciples, that would be Judas, Peter, Andrew, James, John, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast those unclean spirits out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He went to the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and preached the gospel. He was to preach the kingdom is at hand. When Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, I don't know who went with Judas, but Judas went there. Mark chapter 6. Brethren, before he was a betrayer, before he was a traitor, before he did what he did, he was seen and recognized and acknowledged as a disciple of Jesus. Therefore, if with all the advantages that Judas had, all the things that he had heard, all the things that he had seen, his personal contact with Jesus, if Judas, after all of that, was able to do what he did, then who am I or who are you to say we would never, never, never do that? In Acts chapter 1, after Matthias was selected to replace Judas, that he, that would be Matthias, may take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he also might go to his own place, and another translation says, go where he belongs. That's where Judas went. He went where he belonged. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, wherefore, let's personalize it. If we think we're so upright, if we think we're so strong that we could never give in to temptation, Paul writes, we need to be careful lest we fall. Now, there seems to be two words that are most often used, depending on your translation, to describe Jesus. I've already mentioned these, betrayer and traitor, and those are very appropriate. What the Jewish high priest needed, they needed someone in Jesus' inner circle. They needed someone to basically spy on Jesus and find an opportune time when he was separated from the multitude, probably even at night, and that's when Judas led those Jewish soldiers. They needed someone who knew Jesus intimately so that he could choose that safe time for the Jewish authorities to arrest him. Luke 22 verse 6. Judas consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when there was no crowd present. And the King James says, in the absence of the multitude. And then we skip down a couple of verses and it says, the Jews delighted that he agreed and they gave him the money. Even with all of those advantages, hearing what he heard, seeing what he saw, he gave in to the one thing he probably could not control, and that is greed. And we make a side point. You remember when the rich young ruler came running to Jesus, fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus, the Bible says, beholding him, loved him. He said, Jesus, what do I need to do? Now, they're living still under the law of Moses. He said, you need to keep the commandments. The rich young ruler said, I've kept those commandments from my youth up. What more do I lack? There was only one thing that kept the rich young ruler from becoming a disciple. That was probably the same one thing that Judas could not withstand. Greed, covetousness, the love of money. Paul says the love of money, not money per se, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Now there is one other word, using my translation, that is used to describe Judas. Actually, it's only used once, and this is my favorite word to describe him. John 6, verse 70, Judas was a devil. Not a hero, but a devil. When Jesus was anointed with the precious ointment, the very expensive ointment, it was Judas that said, this ointment should be sold and the money given to the poor. But John will write in John 12, verse 6, he wasn't interested in the money. In fact, that's where John identifies him as the one who holds the purse and would actually get into the apostles' money from the purse. It was greed that Satan used against Judas. He knew what would work against Judas. And brethren, there's our application. He knows where to attack me. He knows where to leave me alone, but he knows my weakness. He knows your weakness. He knew Judas's weakness. And for us to say, well, Judas had all of those advantages, even being an intimate friend with Jesus, but I would never succumb to temptation. And then do you realize that every time we sin, we're actually betraying our Lord? We need to think about that. Now, let's give him credit. Right up to the very end, had Judas repented, I believe he would have been forgiven. I've heard some commentators say that Judas, what he did, he would never be forgiven. I don't agree with that. Had Judas repented, he would have been forgiven. Peter obviously was forgiven. He was used more mightily for the Lord after he denied our Lord three times than even before. Judas could have been forgiven, but when Judas gave in to temptation, that sin entered his heart and he just could not withstand. Let me read a few verses. Then Judas led the band of guards to Jesus. That's Jewish soldiers. He led Jewish soldiers to Jesus, the place of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. He knew where Jesus would be. For Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, comes thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Then comes Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude. I already read that. Then Judas identified Jesus with a kiss. One of the most precious, if not the most precious, identification of affection, a kiss. And yet it was with a kiss. Now he that betrayed him gave this sign, saying, whomever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold fast, and forthwith he will come to Jesus and said, he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and he kissed him. And Jesus even said, Judas, do you betray me with a kiss? Brethren, how can anyone think that Judas is a hero? Even Judas didn't think he was a hero. In fact, no sooner had he done what he did, he regretted it. And admittedly, he went back to the chief priests and offered the money back to them, but they refused. They were not going to go back. Matthew 27, 3 and 4, then Judas, which had betrayed him, When he saw he was condemned, he was found out, repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, I have betrayed innocent blood. He tried to restore the money. They would not take it. The betrayer, therefore, was betrayed. He made his bed, and he was forced to lie in it, unless he would repent. He called the tune. He had to pay the fiddler unless he would repent. You know, Satan can make sin look so good. Judas must have known he would have been found out. But Satan made that money, that 30 pieces of silver, look so good that Judas just could not or would not resist that temptation. Brethren, here's the application. If Judas, with all of the advantages he had, did what he did, then who am I or who are we to say, I will never succumb to temptation. I will never sin like that. And they took the money, Acts chapter 1, and bought a field of blood. And I suppose that field is even recognized today. He had regret, but not godly sorrow. Let me read part of 2 Corinthians 7:10. If I read it all, it would kind of confuse what I'm trying to say. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. He sorrowed, but not godly sorrow. The last part of that verse says, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. That's what Judas had, sorrow of the world. He was sorry that he got caught. He was sorry he was going to pay the consequences. He was not in his heart sorry that he betrayed our Lord. And so let me say one last time. With all of the advantages that Judas had, seeing what he saw and hearing what he heard, he still succumbed to sin. And certainly not to that extent, but brethren, we are potentially the same as Judas. Because every time we sin, Paul says it's like driving the nails into Jesus' flesh all over again. That's the potential that we have. So the real question we need to ask is, how are we going to handle our sin? Are we going to do like Judas and take the coward's way out? You remember, he went and he hung himself, and even the rope broke, and he... Is that what we're going to do? Or are we going to take care of it the way the Lord wants us to? Are we regretful or are we repentant? The Bible says that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The Bible says if we confess our faults before men, God will forgive us. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avail much. God wants all men everywhere to repent. And perhaps today you need to make some sort of change in your life. Maybe it's something rather simple. Maybe you need to give up something that is occupying too much of your time. Maybe it's something far more serious, like what we call the first principles of the gospel, the steps of salvation. Having heard the truth, having studied the truth, having believed the truth, are you ready now to acknowledge that Jesus is your only hope of salvation? Are you ready now to turn away from anything that stands between you and Him? Are you ready now to start over? It's called the new birth. It's called baptism. Jesus preached, go into all the world and preach this same gospel. He that heareth and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. So if your need is baptism, or if your need is prayers of forgiveness, or if your need is some other avenue of the Lord's invitation, we're going to sing a song and invite you to come. Mike will meet you up here in the front, and we'll get your request known. Let me look again at the number, 881. We're going to sing both of those verses. Don't delay. If you need to come, do so now as we stand and sing.